Well, I hope you got your copy of God's Word. Why don't you join me in Daniel as we begin our second installment in this rich series, Unshakable. I invite you to join me again in that first chapter, Daniel, the first chapter. And for context, we're going to begin our reading at the third verse. Daniel, the first chapter, beginning at the third verse. When you make your way there, you'll see words similar to these. Then the king commanded Ashpenaz, his chief eunuch, to bring some of the people of Israel, both of the royal family and of nobility, youths, without blemish, of good appearance and skillful in all wisdom, endowed with knowledge, understanding, learning, and competent to stand in the king's palace, and to teach them the literature and language of the Chaldeans. The king assigned them a daily portion of food that the king ate and of the wine that he drank. They were to be educated for 3 years, and at the end of that time, they were to stand before the king. Among these were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah of the tribe of Judah. And the chief of the eunuchs gave them names. Daniel he called Belteshazzar. Hananiah he called Shadrach. Mishael he called Meshach. And Azariah he called Abednego. But Daniel resolved that he would not defile himself with the king's food or with the wine that he had drank. Therefore, he asked the chief of the eunuchs to allow him not to defile himself. Let's look at it one more time. Verse 8, but Daniel resolved that he would not defile himself with the king's food or with the wine that he drank. Therefore, he asked the chief of the eunuchs to allow him not to defile himself. This alone is an example of unwavering faithfulness. And it's our prayer that God would bless us to be able to stand against the adversities of our time, standing on the truth of God, that no matter what happens in our lives, we will not give up our trust, our faith, our commitment to the Lord our God. Amen. All right, well, let's dive in as we look at God's word. Father, thank you so much for this opportunity you've given us. Now incline our ears that we might hear from you, that your Holy Spirit might direct us, might grow us, might develop us, that in all things, in every place, in every season, we as your children, believers of you, will stand and represent you, that you be glorified in our very lives. It's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Anytime you go to the Word of God, the goal, the purpose is to see where God is and to see where He is working. Not just in the Word of God, but even in your life. You do understand that God is always actively engaged in the life of every believer. That even if you perceive it or not, God knows exactly where you are. Juan, God knows what season you're going through, and you can trust and believe. Go ahead. Good to see you, my brother, that God has a plan for you. I'm that kind of pastor. I just see it how it is. But Jason is in the text. It's in the text because when you look at Daniel, Liz, what you see is not really a hyper-focus on Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. No, what we see is how God has been faithful in their lives, even though their lives happen to be in an uncomfortable predicament. Anybody ever been in an uncomfortable predicament? No, I'm not talking about just you just felt uncomfortable. I'm talking about like you're in a situation where you don't know where your next turn is going to be. You don't know what's going to happen. Anybody besides me, you've been living long enough to know that there are some times you've been in places where had it not been for God's intervention, you still would be lost. Okay, well, you know, Shannon, I was there just this weekend. I was there, Heather. If you look closely at life, then you realize that, Tanya, many of us are in a season where school has begun. And all the parents say, Yeah, we said amen. School has begun. And when you get in a season that we are in, Kiana and I are as a family unit, then you're bringing your kids to college campuses. Yeah. Did that this weekend as we moved our youngest son into his campus. Unfortunately, his campus housing wasn't ready right away. So we stayed there all day, all night, because Susan, I was committed that I brought him there, and I wasn't going to leave with him. I'm a committed father. I'm committed, I tell you. Pray for him, because I dropped him off. So, partner, you're going to figure this thing out. But on my way back home, as I was driving the meandering roadways of the highway, it was dark as usual, and there I am, Amanda, trying to make my way. I'm listening acutely to my GPS. I had GPS on, and I knew that you know, as long as she was talking, I could make my way there. I had a screen because before GPS, I learned how to read a map. Some of y'all been living long enough to know before GPS. The rest of y'all don't even know what I'm talking about. But anyway. But something happened as I'm looking at the map and I'm making my way there, Greg. I'm driving, you know, trying to get home because I'm tired. My coffee is running out. And you know, you get the jitters. You ever get the jitters? You roll the window down. You got the air coming in. You put your music up as loud as you can. Okay, I'm the only one. All right, it's all right. And then something happened. Wanda, the screen went blank. That's what I said. And I had some other words too, but I ain't gonna tell y'all right now. Keyshawn, screen went blank, and I'm trying to figure out because I'm not familiar with this particular stretch of highway. Scott, I'm driving, but I don't know what the next turn is going to be because the screen went out. It was plugged up, but it still went out. I know I paid my bill, but the screen went out. I couldn't see what was happening next. I couldn't anticipate what the next turn was going to be. And to my surprise, just before I got to the next turn, a voice came over the Bluetooth system, and she said, in 300 feet, make a right turn. I couldn't see her. I couldn't see the map, but I heard the voice. I'm trying to help y'all understand something. Because like these in our text, sometimes in your life, you'll be traveling life and you won't always be able to see what's going to happen next. John, you won't always be able to perceive what's going on. It looks like you've never been in this space of life before, but when you are a child of the King, when you are a child of God, just listen, because God will direct you that even if you don't see him, you can still trust him, because even though you don't see him, guess what? He still sees you. I'm in touch, y'all. Because here you have the nation of Israel, and they've been suffering because they've been under ungodly leadership. And as a result of being under ungodly leadership, God permitted the nation of Israel to be besieged by an empire called Babylon. Babylon then takes them captive. And among those who are taken captive are the young men we read in the text. The text really indicates that they're about 15 to 20 years old, and here they are. Now they're in captivity. They didn't do anything to cause them to be in the circumstance that they were in. They were not ungodly, but their governmental structure was. And when the government is not following God, then the people who are underneath the government will feel the pain and the pressure of ungodly leadership. Don't look at me like you don't understand what I'm telling you. Because we're living that experience even now. But here's the good news of the text, is that when you are a child of God, even though you may be experiencing uncomfortable situations in life and circumstances and adversity, that God uses it all in your life to bring your life to a place of godliness. Because godliness arises when devotion to God exceeds desire of comfort. I got to say that one more time. Godliness arises when our devotion to God exceeds our desire for comfort. Because here is the reality, and I promise you, there may be somebody on your row who can testify to this, that when you follow God, There are times where God will guide you into uncomfortable seasons and settings. Okay, I got three amens on this side. Let me holler at you for a moment. Have you ever been there where you were striving to follow God, do what God has called you to do? Have you ever been there where you were being obedient to God's word, and all of a sudden it looks like anything and everything that could have happened to you began to happen? I got my own witness. Job will tell you that here he was following God. Job, the oldest book in the Bible, will tell you that he was living his life devoted to God, but he didn't know that God was having a conversation in heaven with the enemy. Oh, you ought to read the Bible sometimes. Because Satan and God were in a conversation, Susan, and God offers up Job. Job didn't pray for this. Job didn't ask God, told God he really wanted this. No, Juan. God said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? Satan comes back, Anthony, and he says, well, I would consider him, but he doesn't trust you for nothing. You have a hedge of protection around him. He said, but if you take the hedge of protection around him, then from around him, then he will curse you to your face. And God says, the deal is on. Because God trusted Job with trouble. And what did Job say? Job said, naked I came in this world, naked shall I return. The Lord give it, and the Lord take it away. But blessed be the name of the Lord. This is where God wants our faith to be, that it's unshakable no matter what happens to you. That your allegiance and faithfulness to God is not predicated on comfortable circumstances. Because in this life, you will have tribulation. In this life, you will have trouble and adversity. But what we see demonstrated in the text is that God can work through your adversity. That God is able to use what is happening to you and add his testimony of his faithfulness about you in your life. That God is able to work things out on your behalf for his glory, even though it looks like your story is beyond your control. It's really beyond their control. Daniel couldn't control being brought into captivity. Daniel could not control being placed under the rule and reign and indoctrination of King Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel was not in control when the person who was placed over him tried to change his name from Daniel to Belshazzar. But Daniel knew full well who was in control. And when you are a child of God, you know then that God has the final say. God has the last word. And God has the ability to overrule whoever tried to put a super rule over you, because there's nobody greater than our God. He is still King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and you can trust that he knows exactly where you are. Yeah, he knows exactly where you are, because somewhere in their upbringing, before they were in captivity, Mama Gwen, before somewhere in that upbringing, you know they must have heard the stories, because the Bible said that Nebuchadnezzar sent out his servants to find the educated, most well-equipped young people of Israel. And so here they had been educated. Somewhere in their upbringing, they must have remembered something about God. Something about when Adam and Eve got in trouble, God still came in the garden to rescue them. Something about Moses being at the Red Sea, not knowing where he was going to go, but God still came and parted the Red Sea. Who am I talking to in this place? Something like Noah, who said, I don't know how I'm going to make it out of this flood, but God said, build an ark and I'll be with you. Somebody like Hannah that was dealing with infertility, and God said, I still got you. Who am I talking to? God wants you to know that no matter where you are, I'm getting too excited already. But he got you. God has you. And as you grow in your relationship with God, you learn how to not allow anxiety to build up so much inside of you that it causes you to not see God's activity in your life. God is still active in your life. And here, we noticed something here about Daniel. You read where the chief of the eunuch gave them names, and he changed their names. He called them, the text says. He called them by Babylonian names. Uh-huh. But look at verse 8, first two words. But Daniel, do you see it there? Oh, did you miss it? Let me try that one more time. He called them by Babylonian names. But Daniel. Okay, all right, let me help you. When you know who God has created you to be, it doesn't matter what other people try to rename you. As long as you don't agree with the name they gave you, and you trust the God who gave you identity in the first place, then no matter what they call you, you call yourself by the name God has given you. Daniel's writing this, and he says, yeah, they called me Belshazzar, but I'm still Daniel. Daniel means God is my judge, which means before I believe what anybody else says about me, how other people try to criticize me or rename me, I'm going to remember what God has called me, and I am his child. Hear me well. Your circumstances don't define you. God has already defined you. He says that you are his. So when you find yourself facing adversity, take a page, because what you see with Daniel is that living in view of God requires us to actively refocus our hearts on him. I'm in text, because it says, but Daniel resolved that he would not defile himself with the king's food or with the wine that he drank. He resolved. Some of your translation says that Daniel has purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. Before the adversity, Daniel drew a line in the sand. Before he got to the problem or the burden, Daniel already knew how he was going to respond. You know, sometimes it's good to have some holy time alone with God and look in the mirror and picture how you're going to respond when the enemy tries to cause you to give up on your God. You ought to look in the mirror. You know, sometimes you look in the mirror when you see somebody, you're like, I should have told them this, and I should have told them. No, look at y'all over here. You know how it is that when you go through something and then you get back home, you're in the car driving home, and you're like, man, I wish I could go back and tell them. Well, that's why you need to talk to the devil sometimes. That you ought to look in the mirror sometimes and say, you know what? The next time the devil comes, I'm going to tell him, do you know who my God is? My God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that I could ever ask or even think. Do you know who my God is? You gotta refocus. Oh, okay, let me bring some of you back. Have you ever gone to the optometrist and they ask you those weird questions? Freddie, which one is better? One or two? Then they flip it on you. Three or four? Am I the only one in here that go to the optometrist? You been there? Been there before? Have you ever been where they're like, which one is clearer, one or two? And you like, wait, do that again? I didn't see that clearly. Sometimes adversity is going to come in our lives, and it's going to strive to cause us to not see God's activity clearly. But I really want you to understand that God has never stopped working on your behalf. That God is always active in your life. And Daniel, in this context, resolved, already had it in his mind, in his heart, that he wasn't going to give up his faith in God, because I believe God has done too much for him in the text. Look at it. Because he's in exile, and yet God still has his hand on him. He's in captivity, and yet he still has a consciousness to know that God is still faithful to him. He's in a bad place, but God is still being good to him. How do I know that? Because he's still here. Okay. With all that you've been through, I know sometimes you look at life and you're wondering, will it ever get better? But you better wake up and realize, you know what? God's hand is on you because you're still here. It didn't take you out. You're still here. God, the devil came to kill, steal, and destroy, but God gave you life, and you are turning to somebody right now. This time, I believe because I'm still here. Yeah, he focuses his heart on God. And this is what I want to encourage us to do. Because we're living in a time where our society is striving to be ungodly. With all the immorality that surrounds us. And yet God hasn't taken us out of here. He still has left the church here. So now you know if he's left the church here, he hasn't left the church alone, because he said that he was going to build his church. I love this, because it's his church, which means when you are part of his church, you are part of him. Mm-hmm. And when you are in God's hand, then you know that God can handle whoever tried to put their hand on you. I'm in text, because here Daniel is with confidence, knowing that he's not going to defile himself with meat that was offered to idols. Because in this text, what is an offense to God is also an offense to Daniel. He goes and he sees the buffet. He sees the buffet in Beit El, it has an open bar. And Daniel sees it, and Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, they see it, and they say, wait a minute, something's not right with this scene. They tell him, Ed, you can come and eat all you want. But notice, if you don't have control of your appetite, and your appetite for God is not greater than your appetite for the world, then the world would consume you as you're consuming the goods of the world. But if you want to stand with a testimony before God of unshakable faith, your appetite for God has to be greater than your appetite for the world. Jesus said this way, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Daniel would not defile himself with the king's meat or with the wine that he drank. But come on, continue with me. It says, then Daniel then goes and tells the servant, the chief eunuch. He says, I don't want to take of this. Notice verse 9. It says, and God gave Daniel favor and compassion in the sight of the chief eunuch. This is how you see God's hand in this. Because in the midst of their exile, God still gives them favor. Favor in a foreign land, and yet God still gives him favor. And the chief eunuch said to Daniel, wait a minute. I fear my lord, the king, who assigned your food and your drink. For why should he see that you are worse condition than the youth of your own age? So you would endanger my head with the king? Verse 11, then Daniel said to the servant whom the chief priest of the eunuchs had assigned over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. He says, verse 12, test your servants for 10 days. Somebody say 10 days. Let us be given vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then let our appearance be compared to the appearance of the youth who eats the king's food by observing by you, and deal with your servant according to what you see. Check it out. His faith in God is so strong that instead of giving and acquiescing to the culture, he in humility says, I got to stand for God. He says, no matter what's going on. So then he puts it to a test. I love this text. He puts it to a test and he says, test me for 10 days. Give us vegetables and water. Don't that sound like a good diet? Give us vegetables and water. Test us. Now, listen, hold on now. This is not a command by God that you should have a vegetarian diet. I want you to understand this, okay? Nothing wrong with a vegetarian diet. But I'm saying, I know I'm in Texas. That's not what this text is saying. This text is really saying that when it comes down to your appetite for the things of God and your appetite for the things of the world, that you're always better when you choose God. Because God can protect you from the world. God can help you overcome in the world. And God can create miracles in your life while you're obedient to him, while you go through this world. I'm in the text. Because notice how God responds to our faithfulness. See, God's response to our faithfulness is his unwavering faithfulness. Right there. Because look what happens. It says, he says, test them. So he listened to them in this matter and tested them for 10 days. And at the end of 10 days, it was seen that they were better in appearance and fatter in flesh than all the youth who were eating the king's food. So the steward took away their food and wine they were to drink and gave them vegetables. Did you catch it? Did you get it, really? Don't you want this kind of diet? That in 10 days you see results. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you want these results, because in 10 days they were fatter. In 10 days they were sharper. Hold on, God. That's something strange about this mathematic, because some of us right now, if we could get a diet that would make it work in 10 days, we would pop that pill. Some of us, you know what, let me not talk to y'all no more. And yet, when we read it too quickly, we miss it. In 10 days, God made them stronger and better than their counterparts. He did it in 10 days, Liz, so that we understand, Hillary, that man couldn't do this. That God will allow your life to go through some things and you wonder why you're going through it, why you're being challenged the way you're being challenged. God says, I'm doing it so that others can see that my hand is still on you no matter what you're going through. He did it for them in 10 days. Oh, I love this, because that's the miracle. The miracle is that they advanced in 10 days. But not only is there a miracle, God gave them a message. We're almost there, y'all, because in verse 17, it says, these four youth, God gave them learning and skills in all literature. Did you catch it? Who gave it to them? Who gave it to them? That's why when God blesses your life, you ought not take credit as though you did it for yourself or you did it by yourself. Some of us right now know good and well that anytime we try to do something for ourselves or by ourselves, we mess it up, jacked it up from the floor up. I can't look at nobody but friends right now. But the reality is that you know that when you had your hands on it, it was all messed up. But have you ever been there where you just let go and let God have it? Have you ever been there where you said, God, you know what? It's in your hands and now it's better than you ever thought it was ever going to be. That's the kind of God we serve, that when you have faith in God, God will have his unwavering faithfulness in your life and he'll show off on you. I'm done now. He'll show off on you. It's right there in text. Because after this, at the end of time, verse 18, at the end of the time, when the king had commanded that they should be brought to the chief eunuchs, they were brought before Nebuchadnezzar. How long did they eat vegetables and water? No, you missed it. You missed it, because the text says that he said, test us for 10 days. And as they test them for 10 days, they were better off. But check out what the latter part of the text says, verse 16. So the steward took away their food and wine they were to drink and gave them vegetables. And when they finished the course of time, which is really 3 years, 3 years now, they come before the king, and they come before the king, and when the king sees them, they're better than everybody else. Do you think it's for them to boast? No, it's to boast of God, that when you trust God with the details of your life, that God will elevate you, God will lift you up, God will protect you, and God will use you to help others know that only he could do what he's doing through you. Have you ever been there before where somebody said, how did you make it out of that? How did you get over that? How did you overcome that? How did you forgive them? How did you live through it? You could tell them, had it not been for the grace of God. And God uses their lives as a testimony to everyone else who's in captivity to know that when you are faithful to God, God will be faithful to you. That when you trust in God, he will be there for you. He may not come when you want him, but when he comes, he is, come on, say it like you know it, he is always on time. And God has blessed you to be in this place because your life is to be a miracle. Your life is to be a message. Your life is to be a ministry for his testimony and his glory. So when others see your story, Amanda, and they wonder, how is it that you endured that season? You could tell them, because God had his hand on me. I invite you to bow your heads all over the building as you contemplate how good God has been in your life, as you contemplate how God has protected you, as God has rescued you, how God has delivered you, how God has provided for you, that in this moment you resolve in your heart that you will stand for him no matter what happens.
Thanks so much for watching. We pray you've been encouraged and challenged. At Champion Force, we focus on advancing the kingdom of God by making disciples, loving our community, and strengthening the church. We are passionate about all kinds of people coming to know God and growing in their relationship with him. We would love the opportunity to talk and pray with you. To connect with us, just go to championforce.org/connect. Of course, we can't wait to welcome you in person at one of our 3 locations in the near future. For campus-specific times and details, just visit our website at championforce.org. We'll see you very soon.